Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome to the Sanha program with myself, Muhammad Baam. My guest today is not Maulana Bilal, rather Sheikh Mahmoud Muhammad Bulay. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Now, just to give a quick intro to who we're speaking to here, Sheikh Mahmoud Muhammad Bulay is the Chief Inspector at the South African National Halal Authority. He was the National Halal Coordinator of the National Muslim Prison Board in South Africa. He also did Qurbani at Darul Ulum Zakaria for 33 years. Jamiat Ulama South Africa, member of the Halal Department, that's for 42 years. And he's so today we are going to discuss the practicalities of Qurbani. Am I correct with the introduction?
Yeah. Just as not wise it is.
Still is.
Shukran to Allah.
Okay, normally we have an open line discussion where the lines are open for anyone that wants to call in and ask. So what we're going to do today is a bit different. We're going to give the last 10 minutes. The last 10 minutes for whoever wants to put questions. Whoever has any question regarding Qurbani, you can only Qurbani. So any questions regarding Qurbani, you can call us. The last 10 minutes is from 10 to 8 till 8 o'clock. You can call us on 011-854-1548. That's 011-854-1548. Or you can even WhatsApp us on 072-786-1548. That's 072-786-1548. So just remember that today we have a special program. Inshallah, whoever has questions, please keep your questions regarding Sana for next week. No, not next week. Next week is going to be Eid. The following week. The following week, when Maulana Bilal is available, today we're having a special Qurbani program. Today's just a special Qurbani program. All right, let's get into it. We don't have much time. So the first question we're going to ask Sheikh Mahmoud is, species of animals for Qurbani, what type of species can we slaughter?
Nahmudu wa salli ala rasulin kareem, amma ba'd. Jazakumullah for calling me onto the program.
Ameen.
We did quite a few programs last week and this week, alhamdulillah. And today we were at the Houghton Masjid. We did an Ummah Heart program. You know, the ladies that got together.
Mm-hmm.
We did a Mufti Siddharth, myself and Maulana Bilal went there to that program. Tomorrow we are going to UJG University. Next day at Butts University. And night we got a North Club program in the Masjid. And like that, alhamdulillah, we try and do some khidmat for our people. The species of animals you're talking about, Allah Ta'ala speaks about إِنَّ اللَّهِ يَعْمُرُكُمْ أَن تَذْبَحُوا بَقَرًا. Verily Allah Ta'ala has commanded you to slaughter the cow. Okay. And as far as sheep are concerned, وَفَدَيْنَا وَبِذِبْحٍ عَظِيمٍ. We have compensated him with a great sacrifice. That's Ibrahim al-Islam. I will just give a little bit of tafsir on that just now. As far as camels are concerned, Allah Ta'ala tells us فَصَلِّ لِرَبِّكَ وَنْحَرْ. Read namaz to your Rabb and make nahar, that bespears the throat of the camel. And we notice the ayat for cattle, Allah Ta'ala is saying, antazbahu bakara. So we slaughter cows, slaughter cattle, and we slaughter buffaloes. The reason for this is that the blood vessels are further apart from the foot pipe and windpipe. That's why it necessitates slaughter. In the case of camels, the blood vessels are very close to the windpipe and foot pipe. That is why we don't slaughter camels, we make nahar of camels, we pierce the throats of the camels. Okay, then the sheep, of course, the ayat is clear for us, and Ibrahim al-Islam, we do know the history. I don't want to go too much into Islam to do masail with you and practicalities of Qurbani. So, as far as sheep is concerned, they should be 1 year old. And if they appear to be 1 year old amongst, 6 months old or 8 months old, appear to be 1 year old amongst the 1 year olds, then they can also be used for Qurbani. Cattle, we did in a madrasa last week somewhere, and I asked the children, now cattle should be 2 years old for Qurbani. That child shouted, Maulana, 22 years.
Yeah.
I don't know, maybe Paul Kruger's cattle did or what. the children make you laugh, they give you some time, a fun time. Anyway, so those are the three species, cattle, buffaloes. The other one is sheep, goats, and rams, because a ram was used in a substitute for Ibrahim al-Islam's time. And, of course, the camels, in the case of, that have to be, there's also seven shares in camels and seven shares in cattle. You can use five shares for Qurbani and two for Akika, or you can use 6 shares in a big car, big animals, and one portion for a kikar. You can do that also. So you haven't done your kikar yet, and you're doing 7 shares of cattle. You can do one kikar also. What that kurban is that you are doing?
Okay. Before we go, yeah, I got 2 questions here, right? Must the tail of the sheep be long? Is this compulsory?
I don't know, from our time, from Mia's Palm time, when we worked under Mufti Sanjalvi and all of them, those years already, and we were working in the city deep abattoir at that time, I saw many thousands of animals, a sheep that is a lamb with long tails. Now sometimes what the mistake our people do is that some ulama come from India and so on, they don't know the hadith, they don't know the situation in South Africa, they ask them this question about the tails, and they give them jawaz, they give them permission to use those. As far in my personal capacity, I say there are plenty thousands of sheep with tails. So why not do that? The tail should be more than 2/3, of course. The horn should be more than 2/3. The ears also should be more than 2/3. So more than 2/3 should be there, in, even in tails. So we say tails that are cut off. I feel that no, this is not the right thing to do. There is a nooks in that animal.
Okay. Another question. If a person sends money for Qurbani, are you allowed to cut your hair or clip your nails?
That whether you are here, whether you're sending overseas or whether you're here, it is mustahab. Mm. That you cut your nails or you pair your nails or you cut, shave under your armpits or whatever. It is mustahab. In fact, if it is too long, then it's wajib to cut it. It is a mustahab act and it doesn't affect the Qurbani if you don't do that or you do that. But it is mustahab to do that. It is not compulsory.
Right. Let's carry on. Kamal, we see that in today's time, everyone has rights. The Islam also has taught us rights, especially with animals. What is the Islamic treatment of animals?
Rasulullah teaches, "Inna Allah katab al-ihsan ala kulli shayin." Ila akhir al-hadith. For everything, there's proficiency in Islam. Kindness to animals. I mean, about a month ago, we had Mufti Siddharth and I went to a program in Rodeplat. And the amount of complaints that came out from the SPCA about regarding animals with our people. Now let me explain. There are 2 types of maltreatment to animals. One is physical maltreatment, and that is when we pull the sheep like a Ferrari out of the kraal into the slaughter area, in the mazbah area. We pull them out in the mud, in the sand. These are live animals. These are not carcasses. These are live animals. They got life in them. They breathe and like we do. So we should. That's one maltreatment of animals. A few years ago, we had to go and intercede there by some farm in Benoni. No names mentioned. And there also the SPCA took us and they showed us how our people heat the cattle with pipes, with iron pipes, to get into the slaughter area. Mm. Or with sticks, they poke them in the back to let them run into the... This is totally out. You can't do those types of things. Now, those are physical maltreatment to animals. Now, Rasulullah, his teachings are so fine, alhamdulillah. I wish all of us can read one durood for him. Sallallahu alayhi wasallam. The maltreatment of animals, psychologically, how it affects them. If you sharpen a knife in front of the animal, that sound, Rasulullah already calls it one death. They are so traumatized, it's under here. Or otherwise they see other animals, animals see an animal being slaughtered. That is also a terrible torture on the animal. Another one is when we lay the animal down. Now we take time, we delay in the slaughter. I remember Zakaria also once, when uncle came there, he put his lamb on the floor. Now he's looking for one of his sons, Ahmed. He said, "Where's Ahmed?" They went to look for him. After about 8 minutes, they found him, they brought him there. This animal is laying and looking at these people, looking over him. People are making noise. Eyes are all over him. Can you imagine how traumatized that animal was? And to crown it all, the father said, "Oh, Ahmed, come now, let's all read the takbir." They read one long, "Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar," like Tarawih. So long takbir they read. Now that poor animal is laying on the floor. That is now terrible psychological torture to animals. Another mistake we make also is, all the time they're in a kraal, you give them clean water, you give them fodder, whatever the case may be. Now the people, I see this at Zakaria, we see this happening, where people lay down the animal, And now they pour water into his mouth just before he's going to be slaughtered. You try laying down and somebody put water in your throat while you're laying down.
Choke.
You're going to choke. And that animal also chokes. And this is not the time to give the animal water. This is the time to slaughter the animal. The sacrifice must be done now. You understand? So these are some of the maltreatments and inhumane treatment that we give to animals. And it's totally it's taboo in the Sharia.
Another question that comes about is that we know that it's a norm here in South Africa that you find that males are doing most of the slaughtering. What's the law regarding with women in udhiyah?
Right, in the hadith it comes, إِنَّ مْرَأَةً زَبَحَتْ شَاتٍ بِحَجْرٍ فَسُوِلَ النَّبِي صلى الله عليه وسلم ذلك فَأَمَرَ بِأَكْلِهَا. Right, once a woman slaughtered, a lady slaughtered a goat with a sharp stone. إِنَّ مْرَأَةً زَبَحَتْ شَاتٍ بِحَجْرٍ, with a sharp stone. فَسُوِلَ النَّبِي صلى الله عليه وسلم ذلك, Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم was asked about this, فَأَمَرَ بِأَكْلِهَا, he gave permission to eat that carcass. So women are allowed to slaughter. Sometimes we do the school programs and so on, the children shake their head to say, no, they can't. Here's the proof that ladies can slaughter. I remember by Zakaria once in the time of Marana Yaqub, rahmatullahi, when we started, one lady came and she wanted to slaughter her own ox, never mind sheep. So it was her ox, so we had to give her permission. She was in Padda. She climbed on top of that gadget, that contraption, and with two hands she slaughtered the ox. A massive big beast she cut, and a small bull to man. She managed to cut with two hands. She cut that ox. So women are allowed to slaughter. But when you come to public places like ours, like Zakaria and our Tekolia's farm and Lalenjaifta, all that kind of places. What happens, you must come properly cleared. You see, when you come, when jeans and all tips and you bend in front of people and all that, you lose the sanctity of the Qurbani. You know, Qurbani is a very pious deed. Sunnah to Abikum Ibrahim, the sunnah of our forefather Ibrahim al Islam. So we should do this thing with respect and sanctity for the animals.
See, I think in Tekolia's farm, with modern technology as they have it now, it's quite easy because you don't have to climb onto it the way how the whole animal goes into
the box.
Into that box and everything. Yeah. It's just that the lady needs the knife and she's slaughtering it. So it's quite efficient nowadays, I see. That,
I remember 33 years ago we started in Zakaria, but I think we didn't use a box at that time. Can you imagine?
With the ropes.
With the ropes. The first time we did 8 oxen, we were still busy till after Isha, chasing 2 bulls. That box, when we bought it 2 years later, we paid 1600 rand for that box. They are now 45-50 grand, those boxes.
Uncle Mahmoud, the requisites of slaughter, what are the requisites? What do we need to know about the requisites when we slaughter?
Very important, very, very important. See, first of all, when we are going to lay the animal down, our knife should be sharpened already. Now, here in lands, you get the Shanawas butchery, they do an expert job. But they only sharpen the blade at the bottom of where it's supposed to be sharp. They don't do the whole body. So they don't spoil your knife. You understand? So you get that thing sharpened earlier than Qurbani. Okay, then don't let children go near those knives. Those knives are very sharp, they're dangerous. All right. Now, your knife should be proportionate to the size of the animal's neck. You can't use a small chaku to cut a big ox neck. You use about a 10 or 12 inch knife. For a sheep, you use a 10 or a 6 or 8 inch knife you can use. All right, besides knives, Malana, and the listeners, in the Kitabs of Fiqh, they talk about, this is my own, what I'm telling you first, before I come to the ibadat of the text of the Kitab, is that in forests and deserts and all that, sometimes you don't find a knife. So what do you do? Alhamdulillah, our Shariat has taught us, وَيَجُوزُ الزَّبْحُ بِالْلِيْتَةِ وَالْمَرْوَةِ وَبِكُلِ شَيْنْ أَنَرَ الدَّمْ إِلَّا سِنَّ الْقَوِيمُ وَظُفَرَ الْقَوِيمُ. The Kitab talks about, it is permissible to use a sharp bamboo, or a sharp stone, or bobikuli shen anara dam, or anything that can cause blood to flow. Illa sin al qaim or zafar al qaim. You can't use your own nails and your own teeth to slaughter the animal. Rasulullah didn't teach us this barbaric kind of things, only human things, alhamdulillah, he taught us. So we can use any one of those to also slaughter the animal. Now we have our knives ready, we're going to lay down the animal. We already read our inni wajahtu wajha lilladhi inna salati nusuki, all those du'as and all that, the ayats must be read while we're laying the animal down. As soon as the animal is down, Now let me, before we do that, let me just say, it is mustahab to face the Qibla, it's not compulsory to face the Qibla. Mm-hmm. We are also part of the Muslim Prison Board, in Luko, present by Mullah Suhail and Mufti Data and Dima. Mm-hmm. What happened when Clever Jack pitched up there to see the Islamic slaughter, Muslim guy, and he says all the cattle is haram because it's not facing Qibla, it's not facing Mecca. And they tried to accommodate us. But it's a very difficult task to turn those big animals towards Qibla. Yes. So they cancelled the halal program for a mustahab. Can you believe it? So for a while they had Muslims and non-Muslims not eating a halal beef. So we fought and fought and fought. They reinstated the program. So now our inmates are taught how to slaughter. And they do the halal beef for the Luko prison. I'm giving an example. Okay. When we lay down the animal, we should read the Bismillah, Allahu Akbar. That's all you read. Because the Quran says, "Fakulu mimma zukr ismi alayhi, wala ta'kulu mimma lam yuskir ismi alayhi." Eat that on which Allah Ta'ala's name is mentioned, and do not eat that on which Allah Ta'ala's name is not mentioned. And in the Kitabs of Fiqh, they talk about amadan and isyanan. Amadan is that intentionally you leave out the tasmiyah, you leave out the Bismillah al-Aqbar. The life of that animal belongs to Allah. So you're taking that animal's life in His name, in Allah Ta'ala's name. So if you would intentionally leave out the Bismillah Allahu Akbar, the animal is not halal. But nisyan and forgetfully, then it's fine because insan, human being, the root word is nasiya, to forget. So he is prone to forget. So sometimes it happens, you forget. So then that animal, the carcass is halal if you forget. Now, some elderly person said, I heard him say, you slaughter 3.5 times. I haven't seen that in the kitabs. This is what I read and this is what we studied. For example, if it's 3.5 times, if it's a Dorper lamb, you know those blackhead lambs. Yeah. The necks are so small, 3.5 times your whole neck will come out. Mm, or if it's a merino where it's thick hole, it's 3.5 times, not even, you only maybe halfway. You understand? So it's not how many times. It is al-uruku lati tuktu fi zakati arba'atun al-hulqum wal-mari wal-warajan. The kitab talks about the severing of the vessels are four. There are four vessels to be severed. Al-hulqum, that's the windpipe in front. Al-wal-mari, the foot pipe behind it, the red one. And wal-wadajan, and the two blood vessels. Right. So, that two blood vessels in Hidayah, they mentioned the hikmat and the reason for cutting the blood vessels. It separates the unclean blood from the pure carcass. You understand? Mm. So there's a separation of the unclean blood from the pure carcass. So purity of the carcass is slaughtering the animal. Purity of the ground, Hidayah got zakatul ardi yubsuha. If there's a napaki or some impurity on the ground, the sun beats on it and it takes away the impurity, it becomes pak. Right. Purity of the body is our wudu and ghusl that we make. Purity of your wealth is to take out your zakat once a year. Right. Purity of the soul is the dhikr of Allah. Allah, Allah, we do whatever jihad is, whatever we're doing. That is to purify the heart. So there's different types of purities in Islam, alhamdulillah. We should learn these things. Now that animal is slaughtered, the four vessels are severed. Okay, if it happens that you go further than the four vessels, that are bisikin and nukha'a, you catch the spinal cord, right? It is makruh, the act is makruh, but the animal is halal because you did read the tasmiyah, you did cut the four vessels. Or otherwise, you cut the whole head completely off, right? It is still halal, that carcass, because you read the tasmiyah and you cut the four vessels. Although the act is makruh, the carcass is halal, alhamdulillah. So now you wait for it to bleed out. Okay, now signs of life, we teach that the legs are kicking, the tail is moving, the eyes are moving, the breast, the chest is moving, the body is moving, that's all signs of life in an animal. But now the animal is laying still now. I learnt in Saudi Arabia where I spent 22 years for Jamiat Dawjiyah, 1977. By the way, that time mutton was 130 a kilo and beef was 80 cents, 90 cents a kilo at that time, right? I remember there was export beef boxes in 1982 for 263 kilo at that time. Okay, all right. Now, the doctors taught us, if you slightly touch the eye and if it flinches, he's still alive. Mm. If you touch the eye and he remains still, that means now you can do the skinning. Now when you're going to do the skinning, Malana, you're going to hang that carcass, please make a price with the spinner. Don't let him linger wrong in his mind how much he's going to earn, how much he's going to get. Tell him, can we make a price now? Because in the kitabs of fiqh, they talk about mubdi ila niza. It leads to arguments and quarrels, right? You give him 10 rand, you say, no. 10 rand. Nah, I want 30 rand. Zakaria, we give 40 rand, alhamdulillah, to the skinners, to the sheep skinners, right? And there the arguments start. Even I was telling the ladies this morning in the program that when you're counting money, someone give you 20 grand, for example, right? Count it in front of that person, because you take the money, you go to the car, you go home, you come back, you say 300 rand short. Mawdi ila niza. There's the arguments and whereas you count in front of the person, you know exactly there was 300 short, the person can see that 300 rand short. Okay. When you skin that animal, and they make nicks in the skin, like they damage the skin, that skin money goes to the poor. Now, if you damage the skin, you're lucky if you get 3 rand for that skin. Because it's damaged. Mm. But if they take that skin off properly, you can get 45 to 50 rand for that skin. And that's a benefit for the poor. Okay. Now the skin is removed. Now the carcass is hanging there. You take out the inside. The red opal is the top, the kalaji and the lungs and the heart. And the stomach parts here. Don't throw it on the floor. It makes a big mess. Put your skin there and let it drop on there. But let a red opal, just kalaji and all, lay one side. And a dirty opal, that's a stomach and all that. What is very, very astounding is that the Quran speaks about وَإِنَّ لِلْعَامِ الْعِبْرَةِ نُسْقِيكُمْ مِمَّا فِي بُطُونِهَا فِي بُطُونِهِ in one place فِي بُطُونِهِ فَإِنَ فَرْثِ وَجَمِنْ لَبَنًا خَالِصًا سَائِغًا لِشَارِبٍ سَيْ سُبْحَانَ اللَّهِ everybody. Allah Ta'ala is telling us in cattle there is a lesson. We give you to drink from its stomachs between the excreta and the blood. Pure milk comes. There's not one piece of grass in there. There's not one little bit of blood in there. It's pure milk. And it's palatable for you, for people to drink. How very beautiful is this, subhanAllah. Okay. Now that carcass is opened and it's clear, the insides are taken out. Now people say kurbani meat smell. Kurbani meat don't smell. You must wash that carcass. Take a bucket of water, wash the carcass. Or you hose the carcass. So all the water, all the excess blood, whatever it comes off, and you get a clean carcass. Understand? Right. Now, another problem that the people do is, while that carcass is hot, they put a plastic bag around it. And they close it to take it away. It's going to smell. So, kurbani don't meat, meat don't smell if you don't let it smell. So, we take it away. You take it away in that plastic bag while it's still hot. That's going to cause a problem. Obviously, it's going to cause a problem. Okay, how much time have we got left?
We have 5 minutes.
We have 5 minutes. I don't know, must I carry on or are you going to ask questions? No questions coming.
Carry on. We don't have it. There is one question, but the person wanted to know that what is the benefits of making qurbani for the marhum? My son, age 28, passed away 2 years ago. May Allah give him jannah.
Because
he never did qurbani yet.
No, it's not wajib on him to do qurbani. He passed away.
He passed away. So,
yeah.
Rather make qurbani for those that are alive and they need to make qurbani rather than those who are dead. If you have access, then you can make
qurbani. That's right. One person came to Zakaria once. He told me, I want to do for my grandfather qurbani this year. I said, what about your own? He said, I did last year. I said, no.
Yours is every year.
If yours is wajib for you every year, you must do every year. Then you want to do this person also. May Allah bless his son in his qabr. You want to do for him, after you do your wajib qurbani, most certainly that sawab will reach him, inshallah.
Inshallah. Okay, the warning of the hadith for those who can't afford to do qurbani, but do not do so, here's a question coming up.
Okay. Rasulullah s.a.w. taught us, من وجد ساعة لأي يضحي فلم يضحي فلا يهدر مصلانا. Rasulullah s.a.w. teach us that he who has the means to do qurbani, but does not do qurbani, he should not even attend our musalla, that's Eid namaz. So Rasulullah was displeased with a person who's got the means to do qurbani and is not doing the qurbani.
The incident of the pregnant sheep.
What happened here in Siddi Deep Abattoir? Once I was standing on the sheep line, there's a line that's used, a conveyor system they use for sheep. And they put the sheep on and the conveyor moves. I happened to be standing at the back here. I think this was in the 1980s. And one of the pregnant one, they didn't know that it was in the corral, you understand? So they put her on the line, and as she sat on the line, she gave birth, a full baby. But the line was moving, and they slaughtered her. Right? So I'm looking at this baby at the bottom that's crying here at the bottom. And I ran to the veterinarians. I called the doctor. I said, "Come here, come see a doc. This baby here. Can't we give this baby some milk or something?" Now listen to our Sharia, alhamdulillah, how it is. He said, "No, Muhammad, no. This baby is going to quarantine now." Say, "Why, doctor? Can't we give it some milk or something? I'm asking you 2-3 times. Say, "No, this baby is going to bloat and die." I say, "Why?" He say, "You see what? This baby didn't get the colostrum of the mother, not the milk. That sticky substance before the milk. If the baby drinks that colostrum, then the tar comes out, the dirt." He said, "The tears al edkom. That tar will come out from the body." Then they drink milk. Now this baby didn't drink the colostrum, suck the colostrum of the mother. All the tar is still inside. This baby is going to bloat and die eventually. You can't do nothing about it. Immediately I thought of the Qurbani Masala, where you slaughter the mother and you find a baby in the mother, slaughter the baby. How they knew this 1400 years ago? Tell me.
Huh? Definitely miracle of God.
Allahu Akbar. Our deen is so very pure, alhamdulillah. And please, closing comments, I think. Please pay for your Qurbani. I know of places here in Lens where last year's Qurbani wasn't paid for yet. And when the people go, no names mentioned, the people go there and say, "Where's my Qurbani money?" You think I'm going to run away with the money? What is Qurbani stock that you are using? Huh? Mm. Even on not Qurbani, you don't pay a person. It's bad. My Qurbani is even worse. There's so many more things to talk about, but Allah Ta'ala give us the topic. Do your Qurbanis properly. Treat the animals kindly. Give them the fodder on time. Don't put the fodder on the ground, because when they urinate on it, they don't eat it. You must put it a little bit higher, let it, you know, be in some type of a container that the food is not laying on the floor.
This person asks, is it really correct to say slaughter when actually what we're making is a sacrifice to Allah? Well, we are slaughtering the animal.
Yeah.
That is the sacrifice, the proper sacrifice is actually when you're slaughtering that animal.
The English word is slaughter, the Arabic word is azab. And in, there were three kitabs that are interrelated, that is asking this question here. Three kitabs that we did, that we studied. One is Kitab al-Udhiyya, that is Kitab on Qurbani. One is Kitab al-Zabai, that is slaughter masail. And one is Kitab al-Sayd, hunting masail. They are all interrelated. So the, in all three places they use the word slaughter for animals. That's the right word to, you're doing the zabi slaughter.
The sacrifice is more to, you know, when you're slaughtering an animal, then let's sacrifice our nerves. You know, yeah. Our spirituality.
That's
also,
right.
You know.
Yeah.
Whatever nerves that we had.
Yeah, you're sacrificing all your carnal desires and all your sacrificing that, obviously.
When,
yeah.
When we're cutting, when we're slaughtering, then let's slaughter our carnal desires away.
Perfect, 100%.
Uncle Mems, Jazakallah for coming here to Radio Islam and giving us some enlightenment to this Qurbani Masail, you know, many a time we forget also.
Yes.
And it's a good reminder for us all.
Wazakir fa inna dhikra tanfa'ul mu'minin.
100%.
Reminder for those useful for the believers.
100%. Jazakallah for your time, Uncle Mems. Inshallah, we'll see you again next year.
Inshallah, Allah keep us.
Amen.
Jazakallah. Thanks for the listeners also to listen to our, I hope they benefited.
Amen. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.